Good afternoon. Today is Friday, November the 2nd, 307th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, active?
Very active.
Yes, the active fire chief.
Fired.
Yeah. Humble Bay Fire District, Mr. Kenwood. Hey, guy.
Hey.
I won't say anything like what you've been up to because...
Thanks.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about some of the things and how the fireboat actually helped out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It really did.
Good, good. Well, we'll share the news then when we come back.
I'm Mark Biet with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Biet with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Biet and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
All righty. 3, 2, 1, Mark. Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Wood. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Mahatma Gandhi. Sometime between 1869 and 1948, when asked what he thought about Western civilization, quote, "I think it's a good idea."
So far, so good.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, well, we can't talk about any of the political stuff today and
good.
The outcome. I know that's what you were really chomping at the bit.
I was
to be able to talk about next
to come
week,
in but and talk about some of the propositions and the way we should go and
yeah,
exactly.
But we had a little bit of a change in plan. So Ken's on this Friday, Mr. Tyson will be on next Friday. So we'll be able to talk about some different things. And one of the things that is going on, obviously, was the big old fire.
Big.
I mean, is this one of those career remembering kind of fires?
It really is. The size of the building, the volume of fire we had is something that firefighters will see very fortunately seldom in their lives.
So this could be like the Humble Paint Factory fire that was on Broadway a couple decades ago.
Yeah,
some of the old town ones. Yeah, okay.
Right. Where it's that kind of huge fire.
I missed it, to be frank.
You must have been over the mountain. Or
well, we live on the other side of the city,
okay.
Right? Didn't hear the sirens going.
Yeah, they were coming from everywhere.
I figure they probably were. What time did the – well, and what we're talking about is a fire that happened out on the North Spit Wednesday?
It was actually Thursday morning. Started about 2:30 in the morning.
Okay, so overnight.
When we got the call, correct.
That could explain my lack of hearing the sirens.
I don't know how you missed them. We had engines coming from everywhere.
Once I finally get to sleep.
Okay.
Yeah. What earthquake?
Right.
Yeah. What's this drywall on me? What's that about? pretty big. So why don't you describe what was before the event?
Well, we had a warehouse housing a number of businesses, about roughly 220,000 square feet, another building to the east of that, right up against the water. We got the call originally for a structure fire on Broadway, and the reporting parties were exactly right. It was a building behind the building on Broadway, but it was so big, it was all the way across
there was
the
water
in yeah. Samoa.
And so that's what it looked like from like the fire station at that part of town?
Yeah, it was a huge glow on the horizon, and Samoa Fire was dispatched initially. They arrived on scene. We arrived immediately after that, along with Arcata. We had extremely heavy fire showing from the end of the warehouse. The building at the east end was essentially gone at that point.
Now, when you say extremely heavy, is that like blowtorch?
Yeah.
Kind of? Yeah. Okay.
Flames, 50, 60 feet in the air at least, blowing out of every hole opening window, everything you can see, very large timbers involved. This building was a huge building, so we had immediately some real challenges, not only from water supply, manpower, and trying to save the rest of the structure.
Now, the building itself, it was wood construction?
It was wood construction.
So it was one of the old buildings?
Correct.
From
heavy timber construction, big open interiors.
The old drying sheds?
Well, I'm not sure exactly, but they were warehouses for either, you know, some type of manufacturer, you know, wood producing inside or lumber storage, that type of thing. We had several buildings, businesses inside. We had a lot of machinery and a lot of equipment from a number of forklifts, heavy loaders, processing equipment, just a lot of material and very, very, as I say, heavy fire involvement.
So when you guys get there and mm-hmm. you see, other than the, oh no, immediate yeah, response,
on,
right?
That was on the way.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, this is a big boy.
Right.
Is there enough time as you're getting on the scene and starting to get everything prepared to start to do a quick mental analysis of, okay, what kind of materials are in here? Can we send the guys in? Can we not? General construction, okay, we got that. I mean, you can look and see what it used to be. Okay. And do those quick mental checkoffs as things are getting prepared, or is that something that's a physical checkoff, kind of like a pre-flight checklist for an airplane pilot, and one guy's doing that while the other guys are getting the other areas ready?
It's a combination. One of the problems for us, Humboldt Bay, is responding into another jurisdiction, Samoa, so we're not familiar with those buildings. We're not familiar with the water supply. So we're immediately behind the curve as opposed to where we'd be in town. In town, we do inspections. We're familiar with the type of construction, all those types of things.
I want to break your heart, but I don't think we have too many wooden structures that are a quarter of a million square feet.
Absolutely not.
Just as a little clue here.
That's correct. And, you know, the process that we go through, we set up an incident command system, and we build upon that where we're filling various positions. But immediately, you with a building of that size, you just want to try to get around the whole thing and see what you have.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight, Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Woods. Ken, were you the lead guy on this running out, or were you just along for the ride initially?
I ended up taking a division. I was not the lead guy. One of our battalion chiefs, Kent Holbert, was the first officer on scene.
That would be Pizza Boy Kent.
That's correct.
We saw him last week, yes.
Perfect, yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's it. He took command. I immediately told him I was going around to the other side of the structure and would give him a size up what we had over there. And we break those types of fires down into geographical divisions. So, and we identify each side. A side, B side, C, D. I was on the C side, which is exactly opposite where he was. He took command of the resources on his side, along with additional chief officers from Arcata. I was on the other side, and we started building from there on what we would need as far as engines. And the really big problem for us was water supply out there.
Just because the water system is so limited, or because this was so large in magnitude that you needed
both
more?
And we didn't have maps of where the hydrants were. It's dark. You've got a lot of material out there, so we had to find the hydrants when we did find them, and then laid a lot of large diameter hose, thousands of feet of hose. We had very poor pressure. Part of that was the building sprinkler system runs off the same system, and due to the fire, we had large sprinkler pipes that had now broken. We're just dumping water onto the ground. So we were
not in the building on the fire, but just outside.
Just dumping.
So it'd be a little
water.
Swampy for you guys to stomp around.
It was, right. So we were playing catch up with how are we going to stop the forward progress of this fire with having a limited water supply.
Was part of that, Ken, because of the way that things were set up initially when these buildings were constructed? Was that if this had been a new structure? Last 15 years.
Right.
Similar, would it have played out similarly?
It would have been a different system from the regular supply. It would have been a system that we could pump into then and supply separately from the regular hydrant system. But you're absolutely right. Older building, different type of system. And again, we were behind the curve immediately with the amount of fire.
The materials that were inside.
Mm-hmm.
I would say flammable would probably be a fair description of what was going on. Did it add to the problem, or did it almost make it easier because a lot of that fuel had already been taken care of and you guys didn't have some of those toxic?
It added to the problem. We had a lot of fertilizer. We had wood chips. We had insulation. So we had a number of real just volatile, flammable material that was going, and that really intensified the fire quickly with the amount of fire that was there and spread it quickly throughout that portion of the building.
So you guys arrive on scene. You deal with the oh my gods.
Right.
Okay, you run the guys that are incompetent around so they can see what's going on throughout the building. You got the real guys pulling hose, getting everything ready. You've got paid and volunteer.
Absolutely.
Dark, semi-mucky, foggy, so you really can't see what's going
drizzly,
on.
Drizzly, rainy, yeah.
And then you've got this new toy, two new
right.
toys. You've got the big, fancy, long fire truck, Trainer.
Did it make a run, or did it not? It's not operational as far as firefighting. It's just
okay. So that's over
so
on
that's
the side.
Separate, but and we then, did have two new toys there. Immediately when we recognized the water supply problem, I called for the fireboat. And we also called for a water tender shuttle, which is just the big tanks on fire trucks, and they bring water.
So when you call for the fireboat,
mm-hmm.
did somebody say, what's that? Or do they leap into action and get a chance to get this bad boy out there?
They leapt into action, and Humboldt, the Harbor District was great. They were out there. As soon as I saw that boat, I was very pleased. So what we did was we ended up laying about 1,200 feet of hose from a dock area where we could connect to the fireboat, and the fireboat could pump in to our engines operating on the scene. Once we were able to do that, then we could establish a plan. We got in a lot of mutual aid assistance from a number of departments all over the area. In fact, we had units from Del Norte that were covering stations in Humboldt County.
Backfilling down.
Exactly. But once we were able to do that, then get that water supply established, then we were able to go inside and make some actions to hold that fire in place. And ultimately, we were successful in saving about 75-80% of that structure.
Really? So even though it was flaming out the way that it was,
exactly,
it was blowing out and the energy went that way.
Yeah, it was on the eastern end of the structure. And we probably burned, 70,000 square feet of building. But we had a lot of building left. And fortunately, I was just very pleased with the way everybody performed together out there. And we made a good stop on that fire and saves a lot of property and a lot of a building.
So the tender truck,
mm-hmm.
how long does it take to fill?
Depending on the hydrant system, it can take just 5 minutes to depending 2,000, 3,000-gallon tanks on those. But having that fireboat there and pumping from it, an unlimited supply of water from the bay through 5-inch hose lines gave us a huge then plus on what we were able to do. We deployed crews inside the structure and, again, was able to make a stop on that fire.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Humboldt Bay Fire Chief Ken Wood. Ken, when the fireboat is responding, and I know it's still relatively new, and you might have dusted it off and played with it, but this is first legit showtime event. Things that I would be surprised, pleasantly so, if they had been thought through.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a protracted event.
Right.
Let's say the waterfront, not a building on the waterfront.
Yeah.
Does the boat stay stationary? Does it move? Can you Can you adjust it as it's continuing to be used? How does that work?
Right. And in yesterday's example, we used a couple of different tactics with the boat. Initially, we had it pumping to our fire engines at the scene. So again, about 1,200 feet of hose they were pumping through. Eventually, when we had contained that fire and cut it off, we disconnected those hoses, had the fireboat come around on the bayside and used their actual nozzles to knock down fire at the very end of the building. So, you know, it was a versatile attack that they made. We used them in a couple different ways, and it was, again, huge. That boat paid for itself in that one fire.
I'm sure Rob and the gang appreciated it significantly. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was. And it was kind of cool to see there was the press release that Randy sent out last night, Randy Gans, just saying, thanks. We thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it was a real community effort from all the, not only volunteer departments, paid departments. We had Salvation Army out there, Supervisor Bass, Supervisor Bone. Again, the community, and everybody pulled together, and fortunately, the outcome was good.
How long did this thing take?
I was there for 13 hours, and that's pretty much when we wrapped it up yesterday, although Samoa Fire did keep somebody on scene till midnight last night.
Just in case?
Yeah, but it was a long, hard fight for a lot of hours, and we had a lot of tired firefighters.
So how does something like this compare to some of the training exercises you do and things of that nature where you might tabletop, okay, here's what goes on, and oh, that would be cute, and okay,
right.
let's break for lunch, boys,
right.
And then you come back, and you know, if there was an event similar to that in Old Town, unless you got three or four blocks going.
And that's really what it would have been, and when we train, you know, we train for normally a single building on fire. And we try to contain it to that building. We did have that here, although it was such a large building that you really have to build upon your initial training and tactics and all those things. And then you have to think outside of the box. And it comes to the fireboat. It comes to using those tenders that we don't normally need because we're in town. We have a good hydrant system. Coming to all those mutual aid resources that we call. Additional ladder trucks, additional engines, additional personnel, and then just making sure the firefighters that there's food out there for them as they're continuing to fight the fire and that they can continue on with what they need to do.
Was there any concern that it might spread into either a grass fire or get into some of the residential developments out there?
No, it's pretty well surrounded by asphalt. There were a lot of wood pallets stacked outside the structure. But our main concern, again, was getting inside, cutting it off, and trying to hold that thing and limit the damage as much as we could.
Successful.
Very successful. Again, I just am very pleased the way that went, everybody coming together. And it was a good fire stop. The crews worked very hard inside of there. They did what we call a strip cut on the roof, where they cut about 250 feet across the roof to hold that fire in place. At the same time, hose streams working from underneath to keep the fire from extending, and it was successful.
How do you know if it's structurally safe to get up on the roof? I'm thinking, yeah. Okay, you got a big old building.
Right.
You see the rage at one end.
Right.
All right, Ken.
Yeah,
get up there on the roof there, buddy, and stand around for a little bit and cut some holes in it. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah, it's a definite concern because firefighters are killed all the time in the country doing roof operations, and that's one thing we train on, not only the type of construction. This was very heavy type wood construction, but it was a bowstring roof, which has been known to have problems and has killed firefighters over the years. So we had to be very sure of the areas where we were going to put people, that they were safe. Also, those crews that went up there need to be experienced. They, what we call sound the roof, where they're taking tools and literally pounding on that roof as they walk across to the area they're going to work to make sure that there's no soft areas and that it's safe to work up there. And then once there, I think they went through three chainsaws, a circular saw, and about, I think, 12 chainsaw blades before they finally completed that cut. So they were up there working chains and blades on the chainsaws, just did a heck of a job.
Kind of like walking out on an ice floe. or a lake doing the testing as you go.
Exactly. Same thing.
One last question about the event, the fireboat itself, when it's employed, how much impact or allowance has to be made for the tides? I know our tides are relatively lame compared to, let's say, Alaska, where you really could be high and dry. Is that a factor in working this thing, or
it is to some extent? This boat draws very little water, which is helpful. One of the problems there was we had them pull up to a dock, and of course we deployed the hose down from the dock. As that tide was going out, the boat drops with it too. So you want to make sure you have enough hose at the end there, so so as that boat drops, you're continuing to be able to supply things there. When we did bring the boat in to the shore to actually use its nozzles, the tide was going out, and we didn't get as much reach as we would have liked to, because they couldn't get in as close as they normally would at a high tide, but they were still very effective.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Kenwood.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times. 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ken Wood. Most folks in the country, Ken, are going to think of this week not as the fire in Samoa, California, but as the hurricane at the other end of the country.
Yeah.
It's amazing the magnitude of it. It's amazing the response, the mess, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, huge.
The fire that happened in New York City with this. How? Why? I mean, you're looking at it. I'm sure you're more familiar than most of us with this thing. What happened?
Well, we had gas in the lines there. The water inundates everything. However, that gas rises, it's still there. And when the pilot lights go out, the gas is flowing. And then you'll catch another ignition source somewhere as that gas spreads out. And pretty soon, you may have a structure going, then you have that type of wind that they had on top of that. Fire apparatus that can't get into the scene because of the flooding, down lines, down trees, and it just grows so rapidly that, again, you're behind the eight ball so quickly. Then you're dealing with water problems because you don't have electricity to operate pumps in the hydrant system, and it just really compounds itself.
What I was thinking when I heard about that was, okay, let's apply this to hometown. That's instead of a hurricane, because I don't think we're going to get too many of them.
Let's
play it out as an earthquake.
Okay,
now we've got trees all over the place. We've got water coming in. We've got some sloshing going on. We've got inaccessibility. Now let's throw a little bit of gas in there. Let's throw a little bit of flame in there. See what happens in our neighborhood.
We're going to have similar types of things. When we had the earthquake in San Francisco, had whole areas of the blocks in the marina that were devastated. Again, it's tough to get resources in there. Everybody's calling for help. You've got just completely overrun emergency system. And that's why we really encourage people. They're going to have to be self-sufficient for at least 3 days. Because we're going to be dealing with the big things, and we're not coming out for the little ones. We're not going to be available.
So how do you define a big thing? Is that like clearing 101? Is that putting out a fire?
Very well could be clearing 101 to get resources here to help out. Putting out a big fire depends on what's burning. You know, is it the bulk plant where we have all our fuel supply and the potential to catch them all on fire, you know, those types of things? And again, a conflagration that's just going to continue to spread. Where is the life hazard is the big one. And how are we going to first save lives, and then the property is going to be second, and then we're just going to build on that from there.
Somehow I didn't hear radio station high on the list. I just kind of getting a little gut
I'll
sense
have to revise
here.
That list. Yeah.
Yeah, I won't ask which direction.
Good point.
And I would think it's difficult to really put together a priority list because, you know, you can kind of guess what's going to happen, but impacting a large chunk of people or right. something critical like the gas tank so you don't, you know, people can drive around. I mean,
it is very difficult, and we know, you know, what we call our target hazards. We have our hospitals, we have our care homes, where we have a lot of people in one location, and of course those are going to be very high on our priority. But then those other things that are happening outside that ultimately, if you don't take care of them, they're going to get to those target hazards and you're going to have problems anyway. So it's a very fluid situation, and you know, fortunately firefighters do a pretty good job of thinking on the fly and being creative, and we spend an awful lot of time training.
So in those scenarios where you guys are dealing with your primaries, what's the role of the community in a situation like that? We can help out, but we might also compound the error too and really
right.
cause problems.
Well, we like you to stay home. We like you to check on your neighbors and be in contact with those on your street. Check on them. If you can help them, help them. But we would prefer that you would stay off the streets so we can get around. We can clear the streets. We can move to where we need to rapidly. And it's really a high level of self-sufficiency that we look to the community in those large disasters to be able to take care of themselves.
I read something interesting this morning. They said of the 24 cell towers servicing the New York City area,
mm-hmm.
12 went down.
Yeah.
So, you know, cell phones weren't working.
It's in New York, yeah.
Obviously, internet wasn't working.
Right.
And, you know, radio was about right. the only communication device that was functional. And I'm thinking now, okay, with this scenario,
mm-hmm.
we have these challenges. Getting my butt out here, is that a priority? To make sure that the station is on?
It very well will be because, you know, the service you provide to the community is huge in providing them information, where they shouldn't go, what they should be doing, those types of things. You can reach far more people than we can in a very short period of time.
And it was interesting for me playing it out in my head a little bit with the internet down, cell phones down.
Okay, right.
There is no communication
right.
for a lot of folks to check
yeah.
how everybody else is doing, particularly if the regular hardwire systems are down.
Exactly. And people in their home, you know, the power's out that way. A lot of people may go out in their car and turn on their car radio because that's the only thing that may work. And it's a tremendous service then that you can reach so many people and be giving them information that they're looking for.
Okay, so so much for the gratuitous.
Was that helpful?
Back slap thing. Yeah, it was almost a promo.
Good.
That
Do
was
I get a promo. Pass next month?
Yeah. No, yeah, we'll have you in twice. We like you so
yeah,
much.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks.
We've been talking shop with Ken Wood. Join us, well, I guess it's Monday.
Monday.
Yeah. Holy cow. Where'd the week go? Monday afternoon for more talk shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow morning.